Greetings, church. The deed is done. I don't know how God thought that he could come in here and get away with setting foot on my territory. I'm the God of this world. No one else has that role. Ever since I left the Father's presence, I've had dominion over this place. Earth is my home. It's where I dwell, and it's where I execute my work. Some call me Satan. That is my Hebrew name, the oppressor. Some call me the devil. That's my Greek name, the accuser. Some call me Lucifer. That's the English pronunciation of my real name, Heliel, the shining one. I am the morning star. I am now the king of the darkness and king of this world because I killed the one who came to save. I finally beat God at his own game. How sweet it is. Ever since the birth of the God child, my goal has been to steal and kill and destroy both him and his followers. He came to beat death, but I gave him more of a fight than he could handle. He came to give life, he said. Well, I came to take it. Jesus was trying to show people a way back to God, a way that I was thwarting with indulgences of sin. Jesus was going to try and wipe away sin, but I interrupted that little plan, and it only took me 33 years. Jesus only ended up with 3 years of ministry. What a fool. His little following is scattered, and the things that he taught will be a distant memory in the days to come. It really was much easier than I thought it would be. And Jesus never fought back for the most part. Sure, he cast out a few demons here and there, but when it came to my greater works, he seemed powerless against me. It was as if he was allowing these things to happen. Take poor little Judas. I've known that boy since he was little. He's always had a lust for money and the things that it could buy. He was always looking for pleasure and comfort, and he believed that money could buy it. All I had to do was tempt him with 30 pieces of silver, shiny silver, worth only 4 months of wages. And the glitter of those coins was all I needed to blind him of the teachings of the person of Jesus. He was eagerly ready to sell me his own soul. I can steal all of you away with this same little trick. You'll work yourself to the bone just to get another coin. You'll sell your values if I put enough of it within your reach. I can hear your pulse quicken, and I can see your eyes dilate. Just another dollar, just another hour, just one more job. I can get you to sacrifice your family, your relationships, and your God, and I've already been doing it. The venom that I use has a numbing effect on you. It makes you think that you're okay while I have my own way with you, and I pull your strings, and you dance for me. My powers work on your pastors. My powers work on your religious leaders as well. Pastors are one of my best tools against the church. You see, you trust them to guide you. But since you don't know the truth for yourself, you're easily led to the slaughter. I can contaminate the pastor easily. I help you abuse him so that he grabs hold of power in order to control you. His lust for control will corrupt him. His teachings will become self-serving. He will drain you of your resources and use them for his own personal gain. And he will become so engulfed in what becomes the business of church that he will no longer hear God. He'll lose his faith and he'll lead you astray, all the while setting the religious bar so high that it condemns you all. I did it flawlessly with Jesus. I had the religious leaders hating him and even wanting the God-man dead. Those that were searching for the Messiah couldn't even see him, but he was standing right in front of them. You might think you're too strong in your faith to be affected. Well, I'm not so sure. Even the disciples were subject to my influences. When Jesus was in the Garden of the Olive Press, he begged for his disciples to pray and strengthen him. Their commitment to their Messiah was not strong enough to keep their hearts from becoming lazy about their faith and their requests of God. They slept when they should have been praying, and it made my job so much easier. Do you know that I was able to put so much stress on Jesus that his sweat turned into blood? I am a master in making people lazy about their faith and unable to respond to the request of God. When I make a person lazy in their faith, they become worthless. I occupy them with hours and hours of pleasure. It's like a drug that they can't put down. They'll claim that they have no time to work on their faith, but the truth is I have convinced them to throw it all away. They do it so willingly and effortlessly, it's like taking candy from a baby. Of all of the disciples, I thought that Peter would have been the hardest nut to crack. But I discovered something about Peter. I discovered that the tool that worked best against him was fear. It was so easy. It was so easy that I was able to use a little girl in the limelight of the fire to scare him away from his allegiance to Jesus. The one that supposedly was the most confident of the disciples was reduced to denial 3 different times. Fear. Such an easy emotion to drop into the equation. All it takes is a little lack of faith. A void of faith is where fear gets its foothold. Now, I'll admit, I was never able to make Jesus fearful. I don't know how he had such great faith, but no matter, because Jesus is dead. I had great joy in watching him die, the humiliation, the suffering he experienced, and the mockery. Every step of my plan fell into place as if it was destined to do so. God didn't intervene. In fact, God turned his back on poor Jesus, and Jesus called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he did. But to be honest with you, I don't know why God didn't intervene. Maybe God was just tired of battling me and got worn out. But I guess I don't really have to worry about the reasons why anymore. Because as of today, Jesus is dead. There were a few things that happened that this day where Jesus died that has perplexed me. One of them is Jesus telling that thief next to him that he would see him today in paradise. I don't know why Jesus would lie to someone in his final moments. It seemed not to be within his character. But there's no way that that man could be in paradise with Jesus because Jesus has perished. And then there was the tearing of the veil in the temple. It tore right in two when Jesus died, but it didn't tear from the bottom up as you would expect. It tore from the top down, as if God himself tore the veil. I don't know what to make of that. And then there were those resurrections. That when Jesus died, that dead bodies resurrected from the dead and walked the streets. I don't have the power to resurrect people from the dead. Only God can do that. And if God was able to resurrect these people, why didn't he save his Jesus? Oh well. I'm sure it's nothing. And in a few days, it'll all blow over.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Excuse me, son.
Yeah?
What have you got there?
Got some birds, some wild birds.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get them?
Got them in the field over there. There's a field with wild birds.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, what are you going to do with them?
I want to play games with them.
Games?
Yeah, I like to play games with wild birds, yeah.
What kind of games?
Sometimes I like to poke a stick in there, you know, and they'll be like going, caw, 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 like that, you know? And then sometimes I like to rattle the cage, and they think it's an earthquake, and they love that.
What happens to them after you're done playing games with them?
Usually I feed them to my cat. Yeah, my cat likes wild birds.
I tell you what, I am fond of wild birds.
You are?
Yeah, let me buy them from you.
You want to buy my wild birds?
Yeah.
They're no good for nothing. They can't do no tricks or nothing. And when you open this gate, they're just going to fly away.
How much?
You're serious?
I'm very serious.
$5.
All right.
$10.
Okay.
$20.
They're wild birds.
They're exotic birds.
You found them in a field.
An exotic field.
All right. That's all I got.
See you looking at the cage.
Yeah. What do you got in there?
You know what's in there.
Mankind.
Found them in the garden. The funny thing is, they put themselves in that cage. I had nothing to do with it.
So what's your plans with them?
I'm gonna play games with them.
Games? What kind of games?
All kinds of games. I'm going to put games into their life that they think is going to bring them so much pleasure that I'm going to turn the world upside down. I'm going to make right seem wrong and wrong seem right.
And then?
They'll be damned for all eternity.
My father and I, we're very fond of mankind.
I know.
We want them to have access to us. So I'm going to pay for their freedom.
You want these humans?
Yeah.
You know they've promised you everything before. They're going to turn their backs on you.
Some will, and some won't.
You're serious?
Oh, I'm very serious.
It'll cost you your tears.
I know.
Your blood.
Yeah.
It'll cost you your life.
I know.
You're willing to give your life.
I'm willing to give what it takes.
This reminds us about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He picked up that wooden cross and carried it to Mount Calvary because he loved you and me.
Maybe you're feeling like I feel right about now, not that great. And we like to have a lot of fun here at Hillcrest. And this morning is just not one of those mornings. You can't see the events that we saw. You can't think about what Jesus did for us on Good Friday and not come away feeling grateful, feeling changed, feeling somber. Because in reality, it's your sin and my sin, it's everyone's sin that was the reason that Jesus did what he did. Every time we tell a lie, every time we gossip, every time we deceive, cheat, steal, every time we fall short of God's perfect holiness, that's the reason that Jesus had to come. That's the reason that God sent him. To die on that cross, to take our place, to be resurrected so that we may have a restored relationship with God. And so this Good Friday, as we celebrate here today on July 21st,
leaves us looking forward to Easter, which we'll celebrate or remember next Sunday, as the story has been building to this moment, and it'll conclude with the resurrection next week. Book of John says this, that Jesus was sent not to condemn the world, but to save the world. So as you leave here today, I pray, and our prayer is that you would just reflect on what you experienced today. Hopefully it brings you closer to who Jesus is, and hopefully you'll be able to, you know, share that with other people in your life as well. As we leave today, we're going to be taking a benevolent offering. This is the third Sunday of the month, and each third Sunday of the month, we take a benevolent offering, which goes towards two things. One, it goes towards people here within Hillcrest who have needs come up. They might, you know, lose a job or have a hardship come their way, and so we set aside some of this offering for them. We also send a bulk of this offering to the community outreach, which does the same thing for folks in the community. It helps with gas assistance, utility assistance, housing, those types of things. The ushers will be at the back two doors on your way out. If you have come prepared to give to that today, you can do that on your way out. Let's pray. Father, our hearts are heavy this morning as we think about the sacrifice of your Son. And Father, words can't seem to do justice how we feel when we consider the events of Good Friday. Words like thankfulness and gratitude and appreciation don't seem to convey quite what it is that we feel today. And so, Father, I pray that as we leave this place, that we would live lives that would be worthy of what your sacrifice has done for our behalf. That we would live lives that would communicate to a world that your Son was crucified, buried, and risen on our behalf. And so the people, when they ask us for the hope that we have, we can talk to them about Jesus, and we can tell them this story. Father, as we give this benevolent offering, we pray that you would use these funds to meet real needs. We thank you so much for the privilege that we have to give to you in this way. It's your name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.